Hi, my name is Sam Limbs, and welcome to part one of episode number 190 of my 60 Music Podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Hello, so first of all, I have to welcome all you to part one of episode number 190 of my 60 Music Podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast, either on the Apple Podcast app, or on Stitcher, or on Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, and you're wondering, so what the heck is this? I'm just give you a brief description of what the show is all about. Okay, so I'm Sam Williams, and I'm a 26-year-old songwriter slash producer, but I'm also a huge 60 music fan slash expert slash nerd. And each week with this podcast, I take one song by one artist in 60s and split the show in two parts. First part of the show, talk about my opinion of the song and why I think it's so good or why I think it sucks, into my own personal analysis around the range of the song, which will include the chords, melody, and lyrics. And second part of the show, dig deep into the history behind that track. In that part of the show, talk about who wrote the song, who produced it, with studio songs recorded, talk about the session players that played on the song, talk about the studio musicians that recorded on the song, talk about the songwriters that wrote it, the producer that produced it, the artists that recorded it, and the peak position song made up personally on Billboard Hot 100 charts first came out, and the year when the song was released. All that is in the second part of the show. Now, before we move on to this week's episode of this podcast, I actually have a huge announcement for you guys. Now, here's the thing. Now, I haven't said this on social media yet, and I'm going to soon. It just hasn't happened yet, but I figured since you guys have been loyal listeners to my podcast, and you guys still listen to it despite the fact that I've moved from Hooshka to Anchor, but I really appreciate that, by the way. So I'm gonna just give you a huge thank you and give you guys a little gift for still listening to my podcast despite moving from Hooshka to Anchor. I'm gonna tell you guys something really, really cool. Okay, so this is in lieu of something I've been talking about for a while, and I'm just going to try to do some kind of drum roll. I mean, you know, it's hard to do that because I'm holding a microphone, and I need kind of two hands to do a drum roll. Right now, I don't have a stand with me, but, you know, the first single off my upcoming EP is coming out in October. Yes! Oh, yeah. So the very first single off my upcoming EP is getting released and will come out on... Now, here's the thing. So you're going to want to remember this date, and I will remind you of it just in case, so that way you do not forget about this date. Please write this down. Or, even better, if you don't want to have to remember, just follow me on Spotify. Look me up. My artist name is Sam L. Williams. Hit that follow button so that way you know you're going to hear the song as soon as it comes out. Do that, but just remember it comes out on October 19th. The Guru Girl, which is one of my all-time favorite songs off this upcoming EP. It is absolutely amazing. It is so good. It's incredible. It's coming out on October 19th. Please go follow me on Spotify so that way you get notified as soon as the song comes out. I would really, really appreciate it. So just follow me on there. Sam L. Williams is my artist name. Please go do that. Really, really would appreciate it. But yeah, it's official. I mean, you know, it's so cool that I wrote this song a year ago, and now a year later, I got it professionally recorded in a real recording studio. Now it's going to come out. I got the artwork for it. I mean, it's just crazy how certain things happened. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I would have never written this song if it hadn't been for one of my best friends who told me about this girl who I really, really like, who's a really good, you know, person who gives out relationship and dating and sex advice to guys. I mean, she is so good. I really, really like her a lot. She's amazing. But, yeah, so she's really, really good, and she totally deserves a song about her. I played it. I sent it to her, and she listened to it, and she loved it. So, I mean, it's such an incredible song. It's very unique. It's different. Now, here's the thing. So, this song is definitely a return of a style of music that you don't hear too much of these days. And it's folk rock. It's Baroque pop, and those two genres are huge in the 60s, but not really in today's world. So, it's going to be a return of both those genres. And the sound is going to be, it's going to sound amazing. It's professionally recorded. It's done in a pro studio. It's going to sound kick ass. Seriously, I'm so excited to release the song. And, you know, and also, here's another little heads up, too, for those of you who didn't know. The release show for this song, the single release show, is going to happen the week before, more than likely, because I wish it would happen the day of, you know, because it comes out on a Wednesday, but actually it's 9 p.m. on a Tuesday. But the venue who I'm talking to right now, they didn't have that specific day available, you know, the Tuesday available the week the song comes out. They could either do the week before or the week after. I thought, you know what, let's just do it the week before. So I'm gonna play a show the week before the song comes out, and it's going to be the Tuesday before the song drops. So that's more than likely what's going to happen. You know, so just want to let you guys know that I haven't solidified that yet. I'm still waiting to hear back from him. But yeah, so that's probably what's going to happen. You know, so I wish I could, you know, because the thing is that, you know, the week before the song drops is the week of Halloween. So I don't want to, like, you know, the week after the song drops is the week of Halloween. So I don't want to do something like the week of Halloween, because that may be a hectic week for a lot of people. So I'm going to try to do something, you know, the week before, you know. So actually the week, not week before Halloween, but like 2 weeks before the song comes out. So yeah. So that's super exciting. Oh my God. I can't wait for you guys to hear the song when it comes out. It's so unique, because I guarantee you nobody has ever written a song like this before, ever. It is so cool. I love it. It is amazing. It's so good. I love the song so much. So yeah, that's just the biggest announcement for you guys. And my next music video is getting worked on right now. So, and by the way, now that that song is coming out, I'm not doing the thing anymore where if you subscribe to the Premium Subscription Versions podcast, you get a little sneak peek of the next EP, because I also have the second to last master back. So I just need one more master, but I think I should be getting that relatively soon. So, I'm going to make some moves and decisions on some release dates for these songs. So that way, the release dates are in the pipeline. So, you know, if you got to hear one of those songs before it came out, if you subscribe to the Premium Subscription version of this podcast, consider yourself lucky, because I'm not doing that anymore. And I also got a couple new subscribers for the Premium version. Really, really appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys for doing that. But the time that you had where if you subscribed the Premium, you could hear a sneak peek of my next EP, that is over. Because I'm gonna set things in motion for the release dates for the next three singles and the EP. But basically, and I do definitely want to space them out, so that way there's enough time in between each release, so that way it doesn't all come out so quickly and I don't have any more music left to release. I do want to space these releases out, so that way I have enough time to, like, promote the song after it's out and before it's out, you know. So I'll you know, and like I said, I have all the artwork for the singles and the EP, so I definitely want to just space things out, you know, for these releases. So yeah. But yeah, so that's basically what's happening. You know, I have the master for the second single too, so that's really cool. But yeah, so I'm really excited, and yeah, let's get started on this week's show. Moving on, let's get started on this week's song, shall we? Okay, so I haven't done an Atlanta artist in a very long time. I've talked about Atlanta before, for sure. I mean, I did the Classics 4 twice. You know, so Atlanta, Georgia has not an uncharted topic I've talked about on my podcast, but there's one specific Atlanta artist who I haven't covered a song by his on my podcast, and this one was really difficult to decide which song to do by this particular artist, because he had two very big hits in the 60s, and I mean, he had some other hits too. I mean, he didn't just have two big hits, he had like three other hits too. But I love both of these songs, and they're both great. I mean, they're both very, very good. And they're good in their own ways. I mean, the one song is fantastic, And the other song is also really fantastic. So it was tough to choose between the two. But then I thought to myself, you know what? One of the songs sounds more like me as a person. And I think I should do this one. And look, I mean, to be honest with you guys, you know, if you're under the age of 18, I mean, yes, this music is very, it's kid friendly. I mean, there's no curse words in any of these songs. It's not like, it's not super explicit. So, you know, it's fine for underage people, but really this show is more for like, you know, adults. So people over the age of 18, you know, that sort of group of people, you know, early 20s, 30s, you know, young people, people who weren't there in during the 60s, but still like adults. So really shouldn't be listening to this podcast if you're a kid, you know, or a teenager. Like, this is really for the over 18 folks, this show. So, because I've dropped some F-bombs and I've said some things on the show that are very like adult, you know, so. But with that being said, I kind of had a tough time picking which song to do by this artist, because I love his music. He's one of the most amazing artists from the 60s, super underrated. A lot of people don't know about him, but he was insanely talented, great voice, great singer, great songs. But this one, I was tough to choose between these two songs of his that were huge hits, but one of them seemed more like my personality. One of them seemed more something that I could really dig my teeth into. And I decided on that one. So this particular song. Now, here's the thing about music from the 60s, right? Most of it was very innocent. I mean, if you look at like Motown songs and, you know, the run-of-the-mill Beatles songs, they're all innocent love songs. There's nothing dirty about any of these songs, really. There's no hints of sex or anything like that in these songs. So, you know, that's true for most songs from the 60s. I mean, there's a few exceptions to this rule. I mean, you know, there's that song by Lucrezia, Rhapsody in the Rain, and I'll get to Lucrezia at some point. I'm going to cover one of his songs in my podcast because he's really good too. But for the most part, most songs from the 60s are pretty innocent. But this one isn't. This is probably one of the dirtiest songs of the 60s. It is so dirty and so totally just really, really like scandalous and very like sexy and just, whew, man, this song is so hot. I mean, it really is one of those songs that is just really, really on the dirty side. I mean, this is very, very adult, the song. I mean, this is not definitely, I mean, this is probably one of the most triple X songs from the 60s. It definitely is. I mean, 100%. I mean, it's definitely one of those songs that is so sexy. And it's not necessarily pornographic, and which is cool, because I feel like you can write songs about sex and still not be like so obvious about it. You don't have to be so pornographic with your lyrics, but the lyrics of the song do hint to that. And I feel like, since I'm a very sexual person and I have a super high sex drive, I think, you know what, I think the song would probably be more fun for me to do, because it's definitely in the line and definitely within those lines of a song that is definitely about fooling around and just having fun. And I think the song is more fitting for my personality, and when it makes sense, because I'm a Scorpio, and Scorpios are typically like that. You know, they have pretty high sex drives, more than other people with other zodiac signs. But yeah, so this song is so hot. I mean, oh my god, it's just so sexy, but it's really, really cool. I really think this is a great song. Okay, so this song came out in July of 1969. It's by an artist named Billy Joe Royal. The name of the song is called Cherry Hill Park.
To hang out in Cherry Hill Park. The game she played lasted all day till well after dark. All the girls, they criticized her, but all the guys just...
Wow. This song is really, really cool, and it's fucking sexy as hell, too. Oh, my God, it is so good. It is really, really good. And we're going to talk about what makes the song so great, both musically and lyrically. But first, let's get into the song's music. Okay, so there's a lot of cool things about this song musically. But first, let's dive into the chord progression, because let's get this out of the way first, because there's not much to tell in terms of the chord progression. I mean, the chord progression is pretty simple. I mean, basically, if you don't know what's going on, it's the main progression of the song is G minor 7 to C dominant 7, really. That's what's going on chord progression wise in the main sections of the song. In the verses, that's essentially what's happening. G minor 7 and dominant to C dominant 7. So essentially it's just like a 1 minor to a 4 dominant. I mean, that's basically what's happening, right? I mean, one minor to 4 dominant 7. That's basically what's going on. 1 minor and a 4 dominant, and then it kind of goes back and forth between like 3 major, 4 dominant, 3 major, 4 dominant, and then it ends on the 5 major, going back to the 1. So there's not much to tell here as far as the chord progression, but there is one really cool part about the song in terms of the chord progression, and that's in the bridge after the chorus, after he sings the hook of the song. Where he actually it's there's a deceptive cadence going on here, because it song's in G minor the whole way, but it goes to the tonic major, so it goes from G minor and G major, but it still has the same chord progression, the B flat to C to D, so it still has the same chord progression, except the tonic is a major chord, which gives a slightly different flavor, but still it sounds pretty cool. And then at the end of that progression in the bridge, it does the A major sort of a thing. That's a cool little addition in there. Kind of riding high on that E note from that four dominant. Actually, in this case, it's a four major going to that A major chord. Which would technically be like, in the case of G minor, it would be a two major. So it kind of rides from, in the case of G major, it would be essentially, it'd still be a two. So, yeah, I mean, it's two major all the way. Like, in the case of G major, it'd be a two minor, but you get the idea. So, A is technically diminished in G minor, but, so the two in the minor key is diminished, but yeah. So, so there's not much to tell here as far as the chord progression, but the arrangement is amazing. Oh my God. The horns are doing this really cool non-lyrical melodic hook in that song. It is so dope. I love that. That is amazing. That bum, 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 bum. Holy shit. That is so cool. I love that. That is just awesome. I really love the melodies that the horn players are playing, and even that little part in the verses where the guitar players are playing the bum 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 bum. That part is so awesome. I love when the horns do that and when the guitar players do that. And there's a lot of stuff going on here in terms of the arrangement. I mean, you got the organ player doing crazy shit, but they're really not doing anything wild. There's just a lot of layers to this arrangement. You got guitar, you got vibraphone, you've got organ, you got a lot of stuff going on here, and you got drums on top of that and percussion, a lot happening here. But I love how in the beginning it starts sparse. You just hear the guitar and you just hear the, and then you gradually hear the marimba, come in, and then you hear the guitar playing that boom, 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 that part, which might be a 6-string bass, but basically they're playing that line, and then you kind of hear you hear things gradually build up, and the background singers are insane. I mean, they're singing some pretty cool parts in the song too, and the harmony in the bridge is cool too, where the harmony part that comes in, that's really cool. That's really, really dope. I really like that. You know, and the background singers aren't doing anything crazy. They're just doing ahs, and they're repeating the chorus at the hook at the end, Cherry Hill Park. They're repeating that line again. So they're not really doing anything fancy. But I will say this about the song. And I've talked about this before on my podcast. The song's in a minor key. But again, like, this is not a depressing minor key song. A lot of people get this wrong and think that all songs in minor keys are depressing. And the truth is that they're not. A lot of minor key songs are actually, really, there's two different vibes you can get with songs in the minor key. You can get the depressing vibe, or you can get the I'm a total badass, super cool vibe. And this song essentially gives you that I'm a total badass vibe with the song being in a minor key. It's not a depressing song at all. So that's something else you have to keep in mind with that. And, you know, and again, like, you know, there's some, you know, a lot going on here in terms of the arrangement. The horns are just really, really cool, playing some cool parts. You know, a lot happening, a lot of cool background vocals happening. You know, again, chord progression isn't too complicated, but the non-lyrical melodic hooks that the horns are playing are very, very cool. The bum, 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 that part, that's cool. I really like that. And it almost kind of sounds a little bit like Stax, if you think about it. Like, those parts, those horn parts are very similar to what, you know, Wayne Jackson, Floyd Newman, Andrew Lowe, those guys were doing on those records. Like, the horns on this record are very much in lieu of the Memphis horns. You know, they're playing very Memphis horns style, you know, melodies. So there's definitely the influence there of the Memphis horns on this record, even though it wasn't recorded in Memphis or Muscle Shoals, it was done in Atlanta, Georgia. So, but the influence of the Memphis horn is definitely on this song in terms of the horn arrangement for it. And, you know, in fact, the Memphis horns might be playing on this. I don't know who are the musicians on this record, but it's possible that you know, the Memphis horns, you know, went to Atlanta to record this song with Billy Joe Royal. But who knows? I would ask Billy Joe Royal or Joe South or any. I mean, there has to be at least one person involved in this record who's still alive. But we'll see. You know, but Billy Joe Royal did pass away. So I'll talk more about that next week. But now, let's get into the song's lyrics. Okay, so there's a huge reason as to why I love this song and why it's so different from so many other 60s songs. Because most 60s songs are the bland, traditional, romantic relationship songs. You know, boy meets girl, they fall in love, they, you know, they love each other so much, and then one of them breaks their heart, and then they break up, and then it's just like, you know, there's so many sort of beta sim songs from the 60s where the guy worships the girl so much, and like, the girl is just like the most, there's so many songs where the guy basically puts a girl on a pedestal, and there's so many songs like that. And I listen to a lot of this music a lot, too, so I try not to become so simpy when I listen to songs like that. But this is not one of those simpy songs, because this song isn't necessarily about somebody who they're in love with. This is about it. This is let me just put it to you bluntly about who the song is about and what it's about and why the song is so different and is so cool. Let me just explain to you what they're talking about in this song. When they say things like, Mary Hill used to hang out in Cherry Hill Park, the game she played lasted all day till way after dark, all the girls they criticized her, all the guys idolized her, Mary Hill was such a thrill after dark in Cherry Hill Park. What they're saying is that this girl was a hoe. This girl was a flat out hoe. I mean, this girl messed around with a lot of guys, and she was totally promiscuous. That's exactly who this girl was. And, you know, and obviously the guys went crazy over her because she was just, she's one of those girls that probably just, you know, the guys probably screwed her. Multiple guys probably screwed her. I mean, she is definitely one of those girls that was totally promiscuous, you know, and I have zero judgment for women like that. I mean, I really am super non-judgmental when it comes to women who are totally promiscuous and have multiple partners. I mean, you know, sex is sex, and I think that it's an awesome thing. And I think that, you know, the more sex partners you can have, the better. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. But I mean, it's so interesting because basically, like, You know, and look, you know, it's funny, like, it's so interesting, especially in line when they say all the girls criticized her, but all the guys idolized her. I mean, it's just so interesting because, like, the girls really don't like her because she's so promiscuous, but the guys are like, dude, this chick's hot, and I'm going to mess around with her as much as I can for as long as I can. I mean, that's basically the mentality that they have, and... You know, and it's obvious that this girl was messing around with screwing these guys, especially when you get to the second verse, or actually technically the second pre-chorus, where he sings, "In the daytime, Mary holds a teaser. Come tonight, she was such a pleaser." I mean, come on. I mean, it's obvious that this girl was just like, you know, really, really just a total hoe. Really just messing around with so many different guys and just being totally promiscuous and definitely not somebody who was down for a serious romantic relationship. And, you know, and it's funny, you know, it's not that definitely isn't for everybody. And in fact, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. I had an experience with somebody like this, and I won't go into too much detail about it, but I mean, I ran into someone who was a lot like Mary Hill in this song. And, you know, it's funny, like, you know, it's so interesting because what happens in the song lyrically, because the song does tell a story, and the song I'm coming out with also tells a story. It tells a very similar story in this song, but this song is a little bit more blatant. But basically, in the song, you know, you hear the guys just go crazy over this girl, Mary Hill, who's just banging all the dudes that she can get. But then what happens is that she meets a guy who's rich. And this is, again, like a sort of beta sim thing where most guys think that a guy who has tons of money has way more success with them than the guy who's broke. But that's really not true. Guys who are broke are really, doesn't change anything about how a woman might feel about him. I mean, it really doesn't. You know, so, but that's just besides the point. But anyways, in the song, you know, she meets a guy with money, and, you know, she found that attractive, so she's probably a gold digger. So she's like, okay, fine. And then basically she gets married to that guy, and then they just live happily ever after. And all of a sudden the guys are like, oh man, oh, I had so much fun banging this chick, and now she's married to one man and one man only, and that's it. She just got sick of doing the open relationship, friends with benefits, promiscuous thing, and now she's just dating one guy, and that's it. And to put it bluntly to you, it's a very similar thing happened to me. I had a chance with someone who was just like Mary Hill in the song, but the chance disappeared because she decided to just not do that anymore and just stick with one man only. So, I mean, I can definitely relate to this song. And, what the song says, I mean, you know, she went away to play a one man game, and she got sick of being like screwing around with a bunch of other dudes, and now she's just married to one guy, and that's it. And that's just an interesting take on the human nature and what in the way humans are. You know, because, and how women are too, because sure, women can be promiscuous for a while and be like, have multiple sex partners, but, you know, not every woman can be like that forever. You know, sometimes a lot of women just want one guy for the rest of their life, someone they're going to have kids with, someone they're going to get married to. So, I mean, it's really interesting, sort of, and that song really displays that. And the song that, I wrote, which is about a very who's just like the girl in the song. It's a very similar situation. Like, I had a chance with her and she was promiscuous, but then the chance disappeared because she just decided to, you know, be with one guy, you know, not be promiscuous. So, you know, I can definitely relate to the song for sure. And it's just so interesting how a pop song, this dirty, got on AM radio back in the 60s. I mean, but then again, this is 1969. One of the biggest hits of that year was a song about, literally, it's a gospel song called "Oh Happy Day." You know, like, literally the chorus goes, you know, when Jesus walks, he washes the tears away. And it's like, come on. I mean, they got away with a lot of stuff in 1969. 1969 was one of those years where some of the radio sensors cut loose, and they just really let loose, and just they really did a, you know, they let a lot of stuff slide. Let me put it to you like that. They really didn't get so strict about what could and couldn't be played on the radio. I mean, 1969 was one of those years where a lot of stuff, you know, just slid by the censors on AM radio and the MCC, kind of a lot of stuff slid by the FCC in 1969. This is a good example, one of the songs that did that. And what's cool is that it's not even like an FM radio psychedelic rock song, because a lot of psychedelic rock was very explicit and was very like sexual and, you know, full of drug references. So it's cool that, you know, this a pop song like this. And you know, the other interesting thing about the song is that it makes you wonder, like, when you listen to it, it also makes you wonder, like, why didn't, like, Christina Aguilera or Carrie Underwood cover this song? Because the song kind of has that vibe to it. I mean, especially the lead vocal and the arrangement. I mean, if you listen to, like, some of that Christina Aguilera sort of throwback stuff she was doing, like Candyman, songs like that, you can imagine her doing the song during that time period when she was doing that. I mean, I don't think she's doing that anymore, but still, it's like, it's really interesting to hear, you know, that, you know, like, hear the song, because we listen to it, like, oh my God, this is such, like, a Christina Aguilera, like, you know, like, sort of song, Carrie Underwood, where it's like, it's almost like that song, Maybe Next Time he Thinks Before He Cheats. It's just like that. It's like one of those songs. It kind of has that vibe to it, even though it's a 60s pop record. The minor key and the vocals and sort of the because the vocals are very much in that vein as well. Like the Christina Aguilera thing going on, like Carrie Underwood. It's totally that. And it just makes you wonder why they never covered this song. Maybe they should have it. Maybe if they released a single, it would have become a big hit again in the 21st century. Who knows? But yeah, so that's really another interesting take about it. And that concludes this week's episode. So that concludes part one of episode 190 of Mid-Section Music Podcast, the Millennial Throwback Machine. I am Sam Williams, and if you listen to this episode and you discover this podcast for the first time through me, and you're a millennial / Gen Z, you've never heard this song before, and you're like, oh my God, Sam, this song's fucking great. I love it so much. Thank you so much for turning me on to it. Definitely reach out to me. Email me at samltwilliatiCloud.com, or you can also reach out to me on Instagram and TikTok at iHeartWillies, and you can thank me for turning you on to the song that you never heard before. I would love it if you can do that. Definitely do that. Let me know your thoughts on this song. And, yeah, so, I mean, at this point, the next EP it's going to happen. And you're going to, but first, here's how it's going to go. So, I think I told you this, guys, once before, but 4 out of the 5 songs are going to get released as singles first. And then there's one more song as part of the EP that's going to come out as part of the EP. Right, that's how it's gonna happen. So I'm gonna release those 4 songs, singles. The first single is coming out in October on the 19th. Now, here's the thing. So when I switch over, hosting services from Who's Gonna Anchor, another thing that's kind of unfortunate about Anchor is that they have a limited character space as to how many words you can fit into a text description of a single episode of a podcast, which is kind of unfortunate. I wish they wouldn't do that. My last hosting service didn't do that. So, with that being said, I may not be able to post a link to the single when it comes out in the description of this episode of this podcast. But what I would encourage you to do is, with that being said, since I may not be able to post a link in the description of this podcast to the song in there because of the limited character space that Anchor allows me to fit in for, because I can only do a certain amount of links because they only allow you 4,000 characters and that only gets you a certain amount of links I can give you guys in the description of this podcast. So what I would encourage you to do is please follow me on Spotify if you haven't already. Sam L. Williams, go look me up and follow me, because when you do this, you will get notified when the song comes out. Because basically, if you open up your Spotify app and then you go to the little bell where it says it's a notification bell, right? And it'll show you a little blue light. It will basically tell you when whenever new music drops. And usually, music usually gets released at nighttime. That's when new music normally comes out. So here's the thing. So follow me on Spotify so that way you get notified when the song comes out. It's called The Guru Girl. If you want to look that up, it's THEGURUGIRL. If you want to look up the song when it comes out. But definitely follow me on Spotify so that way you get notified as soon as the song comes out. But as always, you think you can check out the things you can check out, links in the description of this podcast, are the EP you put out last year, but I'm telling you, this next EP, it's coming out soon. You're gonna wanna hear when it comes out. And the first single's coming out in October, so you know, keep your eyes up peeled for that. And also, I'll let you guys know, because I'm pretty close to booking my next show too, but it hasn't happened yet, but I think mid-October, a week before the song comes out, I'll book my next show. So it'll be at the same place I've always played at, but it'll be a 45-minute set. So please go check. Please, I would love to see you there if you're in L.A. Please go come to that show. But anyways, another thing you can check out, like I said, last EP you put out last year. It's really, really good, but the next one's going to be great too. I can't wait to release that, put out that EP too. Definitely let me know what your thoughts, what do you think of the last EP. You can do that by emailing me at samltwoolley@icloud.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram and TikTok at iHeartOldies. And you can check out the two interviews I did last year with Honk Magazine, shout out LA. I love to do more interviews, but I'm not paying to, you know, be featured in any magazine or publication. I really want, you know, I'm definitely going to, you know, any kind of interviews I do, I'm not paying for any of that. So really appreciate it if you guys could check out those two interviews I did last year. And you can check out the official Spotify YouTube playlist for this podcast. So you'll be able to find this week's song and all the other songs I've talked about on my show so far, including some of the ones I mentioned in interview episodes, which are there for some of the interview episodes I did before they went premium. And speaking of that, check out the premium subscription version of this podcast, because I just dropped an interview with the part two of Don Daneman, lead singer, guitar player for The Circle. He told a really cool story about his tour with the Beatles, because the band was managed by Brian Epstein. Please go check that out. Another interview is coming out very, very soon with Terry Manning, recording engineer who worked for Stax Records in the 60s. That is an awesome interview. You guys are definitely going to want to hear that when it comes out. Please go subscribe to the premium subscription version of this podcast. And the link to them in the description is episode of this podcast. Please go do that. I really, really would appreciate it. I got 2 new subscribers. Thank you guys for subscribing for whoever you are, the premium versions, the premium subscription version of the podcast. Thank you guys for subscribing for the new ones that just subscribed. But yeah, so another thing you can check out is the official Red Bull and merch store for this podcast. Now, I haven't really thought of any new ideas for merch, but I can also adjust the price of each item in the store, because I know things are very expensive right now. But if you guys want to, you know, let me know if things are too expensive, definitely do that. You can do that by emailing me at samltwoolley@icloud.com. But let me know what you think of the logo, too. I really appreciate that. I really, really think that would be cool if you could do that. Also, another thing you can check out is the music video I did last year, which is also in the description, is linked to the description of this podcast. Now, the next music video is getting worked on, but I haven't gotten any updates in regards to that for it yet. But I will definitely let you know as soon as I have any new information for you on the music video, any additional footage needs to be shot, or any new things that needs to be done for that music video before it's out. I will definitely let you know. But it's getting worked on right now, because the finished version of the song that we re-recorded, that's the song we shot the music video for, is done. It's mastered. It's all good. So now that is going to get finished very, very soon. And then eventually you'll get to see that music video. I'm debating whether or not I should release it before the EP comes out or after. I don't know, but I'll decide. But yeah, so I'm Sam Williams. I'm really waiting until I get the finished version of the music video in my hands. Once I do that, then I'll decide on when I'm going to release the music video. But yeah, so I am Sam Williams, and thank you guys for joining me for this week's episode of my podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Till next week, please keep things groovy.